You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Monday edition, and I know many of you are already on your holiday. Tomorrow is Independence Day, July 4th, and I usually celebrate Independence Day on my show by playing an audio clip on the meaning of Independence Day, which I'll be doing in just a second. And I do it because many people don't even know what country we were trying to celebrate or become independent from. They don't even know the century. And that's the result of, I don't know, I don't care. And I've been educated in a public or government school, and it's taken a terrible toll. And if you don't believe me, there's a video that I've included. Now, I'm not going to play it, where one of these roving reporters asked random people questions, and it's appalling, their answers. But it didn't surprise me. I'm sure it didn't surprise the reporter. And it's really a wake-up call, because as government has gotten bigger and bigger, people become dependent on government for their education, and that's quickly becoming indoctrination. And it's readily apparent that American history, especially the beginnings of this country, simply are not covered in any depth. Now, I'm sure there are people that do know that history, but they're fewer and fewer. And if you don't know your history, you're very much condemned repeating it. We were revolting from King George, but his tyranny was relatively minor compared to the tyranny of today, even in the United States. So I want to play, first, the meaning of Independence Day. I want to point out, though, this was recorded about 9 years ago. Let's listen.
America's cities and towns will soon fill with parades, fireworks, and barbecues. They will be celebrating the 4th of July, this the 232nd birthday of America. But one hopes that the speeches will contain fewer bromides and more attention to exactly what is being celebrated. The 4th of July is Independence Day, but America's leaders and intellectuals have been trying to move us further and further away from the meaning of Independence Day, away from the philosophy that created this country. What we hear from politicians, intellectuals, and the media is that independence is passé, that we've reached a new age of interdependence. We hear demands for mandatory volunteering to serve others, for sacrifice to the nation. We hear demands from trustbusters that successful companies be punished for being greedy and not serving society. But this is not the message of America. In fact, it is the direct opposite of why America became a beacon of hope for the oppressed throughout the world. They have come here to escape poverty and dictatorship. They have come here to lead their own lives where they aren't owned by the state, the community, or the tribe. Independence Day is a critically important name for a holiday. It signifies the fundamental meaning of this nation. The American Revolution remains unique in human history, a revolution and a nation founded on a moral principle, the principle of individual rights. Jefferson at Philadelphia and Washington at Valley Forge pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. For what? Not for a mere separation from England. Not, like most rebels, for the freedom to set up their own tyranny. In fact, Britain's tyranny over the colonists was mild compared to what most current governments do to their citizens. Jefferson and Washington fought a war for the principle of independence, meaning the moral right of an individual to live his own life as he sees fit. Independence was proclaimed in the Declaration as the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What are these rights? The right to life means that every individual has a right to his own independent life, that your life belongs to you, not to others to use as they see fit. The right to liberty means the right to freedom of action, to act on your own judgment, the right not to have a gun pointed at your head and be forced to do what someone else commands. And the right to the pursuit of happiness means that you may properly pursue your own happiness, that is, your own career, your own friends, your own hobbies, and not exist as a mere tool to serve the goals of others. The Founding Fathers did not proclaim a right to the attainment of happiness, knowing full well that such a policy would carry with it the obligation of others to make you happy and result in the enslavement of all to all. The Declaration of Independence was a declaration against servitude, not just servitude to the crown, but servitude to anyone. That some signers still own slaves does not negate the fact that they established the philosophy that dooms slavery. Now, political independence is not a primary. It rests on a more fundamental type of independence, the independence of the human mind. It is the ability of a human being to think for himself and guide his own life that makes political independence possible and necessary. The government, as envisaged by the Founding Fathers, existed to protect the freedom to think and the freedom to act on your own thinking. If human beings were unable to reason, unable to think for themselves, there would be no autonomy or independence for a government to protect. It is this independence that defines the American Revolution and the American spirit. To the Founding Fathers, there was no authority higher than the individual mind. Not King George, not society, not God. Reason, wrote Ethan Allen, is the only oracle of man. And Thomas Jefferson advised us to fix reason firmly in her seat and call to her tribunal every fact, every opinion. Question with boldness even the existence of a God. That is the meaning of independence. Trust in your own judgment, in reason. Do not sacrifice your mind to the state, the church, the race, the nation, or your neighbors. Independence is the foundation of America. Independence is what should be celebrated on Independence Day. That is the legacy our Founding Fathers left us. It is a legacy we should keep, not because it is a legacy, but because it is right and just.
Now, I encourage you to go to my blog, companion blog for the show, and that's pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com, because I give you some of my show prep, not all of it, and that includes videos, articles, photographs, cartoons, graphs, depending on the stories that I'm covering. I want to play one more clip, and this is from the television documentary on John Adams, based on a very popular book on John Adams. And this is the drafting of the Declaration of Independence. And Ben Franklin is there, John Adams is there, Jefferson's there. And remember, Jefferson came up with the first draft. But this was a committee to refine that first draft, because ultimately it would go to the Assembly of the Representatives of the Colonies, and invariably was going to be challenged and changed. Listen in.
This is something altogether unexpected. Not only a declaration of our independence, but of the rights of all men. This is well said, sir. Very, very well said.
The Christian king of Great Britain has waged cruel war against human nature itself in the persons of a distant people who never offended him, captivating and carrying them into slavery in another hemisphere.
Yes, you lay the evils of slavery at the feet of the king, but you say nothing of slavery itself, sir. Now, surely, if the trade is outlawed but ownership is not, then those unfortunate Negroes still in servitude will become a more lucrative commodity.
Well, that's not what I intended, Dr. Franklin. Slavery is an abomination and must be loudly proclaimed as such, but I own that neither I nor any man has any immediate solution to the problem.
Oh, but tis no matter. The issue before us is independence and not emancipation.
Oh, Dr. Franklin, this document is...
It's something our friends in the Congress will debate, but I would be very surprised if they will countenance an attack on slavery. No. We hold these truths to be sacred and undeniable, that all men are created equal, etc. Sacred and undeniable. Smacks of the pulpit.
Does it?
These truths are self-evident, are they not?
Perhaps.
Self-evident, then. Self-evident?
Self-evident.
Do not mistake me, sir. I share your sentiment.
Every single word was precisely chosen. I assure you of that, Dr. Franklin.
Yes, but yours will not be the only hand in this document. It cannot be. They will try to mangle it, and they may succeed.
There may be expressions which I would not have inserted if I had drawn it up, but I will defend every word of it.
Well, it's what I believe.
This is a marvelous invention, Mr. Jefferson.
Yes, I went through a number of variations. This is by far the most successful. Simplest is always the best.
It's two seats, and the top one swivels on rollers made from the window sash pulleys.
Oh, most ingenious.
That was a conversation on the drafting of the Declaration of Independence, and included Dr. Franklin, Benjamin Franklin, John Adams, a future president, the second president, and Thomas Jefferson, the third president of the United States, and a political opponent in the future of John Adams. I recommend highly the purchase of the video. I think it's available. I'm pretty sure it's available. And online, you can get various scenes. I led off with the Declaration of Independence, not only because it was the 4th of July, coming up, and most of you will celebrate with barbecue in the backyard, flags flying, firecrackers going off. Many of you will attend celebrations, usually in the evening, but not always, where you'll watch displays of various firecrackers, I call them rockets, and everyone will be dazzled. But it's important to understand that this was serious business. The representatives ultimately put their names on the Declaration of Independence. In terms of the King of England, they were traitors, and they knew if they were captured, they would be hung, and worse, they would be executed as traitors. But they felt strongly that what the colonies needed was independence from what they perceived then as a tyrannical government. Governments, in the extent that they become tyrannies, where are they oppressive? It's in really two areas. One is conscription, in other words, forcing men to fight in the either in the Army, the Navy then, now all three services, the Air Force, actually four for the United States, the Marines. And for many, many years, we had a draft. And fortunately, not too many years ago, the draft was abolished, and today we have an all-volunteer force. But conscription was what governments, primarily monarchies, all of them, with few exceptions, were monarchies, dictatorships. That's one way that they would limit your freedom in action. The second is taxes, taking your property to support the government. And that's the second story, really a continuation, because I really didn't have time to give it enough to do justice to the topic. The American people believe that they're overtaxed, and I agree with them. Why are they overtaxed? Government has grown in the last 125 years. And when I say government, it's really at all levels, but on the federal level, it's grown from roughly 3% of the U.S. economy, real gross domestic product. To today, it's slightly under 20%. It's got as high as over 24. Its average in terms of just spending is a little over 18%. So ballpark, it's about 6 to 7 times the size it was 125 years ago. And except for wars, including our Civil War, World War I, World War II, prior to the 30s, 1930s, government was small. It wasn't intrusive. And the government, to the extent that you was intrusive, was local. It was local. Towns, cities, counties, and states. Now it's the federal government that is huge. And federalism, while still existing, is more honored in the breach. Now, to support a large government, what do you need? You need taxes. When the income tax was passed, it was really targeted at the very, very rich, what today we would call the 1%. Over 95% of the American people never paid income taxes when it was first passed. Actually, it was a higher number. So what happened? Government grew and grew and grew, and as it became larger, it expanded its role, its size, its scope, and that requires money to pay for those bills. And that's why today most people are working 4, 5, 6 months out of the year, not for themselves, but for government at all levels, mainly at the federal level, but also at state, county, and city. The progressives believe that the answers to society's problems was more and more government, and they haven't stopped. Obamacare is the latest example of their interference in the U.S. economy. It's failing, but it was designed to fail because their ultimate goal was what? And I'm talking the Democratic Party, but also a large proportion of the Republican Party. Progressives have been in both the Democrat and Republican Party. There's an illusion or misconception by many people that the Republican Party is conservative. No, it's not. It's never been. It has largely been for a larger and larger government, a role and the size, and that inevitably requires more and more taxes. And that means people have to, not only husbands, but wives have to work one or more jobs, not only to pay the taxes, but to keep a roof over their head, clothing's on their back, food on the table, and yes, you need transportation to go to work. We have become dependent on the government because the way politicians succeed at this, I call it Santa Claus socialism. Vote for me, and I'll give you some free stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no such thing as free stuff. Everything costs money. Today, more than half the American people get a check from the government. I do. Social Security check. You see, I didn't have the choice whether or not to so-called contribute to Social Security and Medicare. It was taken out of my check. Do you think the founding fathers would approve of it? I don't think so. When did Social Security come in? Under Roosevelt, when we were having a Great Depression that lasted really to the end of World War II. And it really wasn't a priority, even in the Democratic Party. The concern was to get people back to work. And most people then never, the life expectancy wasn't 65. So your chances of collecting it were slim and none. Now, because of advances in medicine, science, life is expectancy today is over 65. It's in the 70s. Depends on whether you're a man or a woman. So what's happened? Entitlement spending for Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid is grown. Ultimately, if some basic changes are not made, it will fail. Medicare is running huge deficits. Medicare came in again with another progressive, Lyndon Baines Johnson. Again, underestimating the cost. That's the pattern here. They always underestimate the cost. Same with Obamacare. It has unintended consequences. With Obamacare, it's much higher premiums, much higher deductibles that people can't afford. Progressives interfere with your freedom, your liberty of action. While we celebrate Independence Day, we are now a nation of dependence, government dependence. It's about power, it's about control, and it's a control over you through coercion, taxation. And neither party, the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, is going to do anything about it. There's no hope, no change. And we're seeing it today played out in Congress. Why? Because the leadership, not the rank and file, the leadership, they're not conservative. Go to Conservative Review and check your representative out, whether he's a Democrat or Republican. Go to Conservative Review and check out Republican, especially the leadership of both parties, and see where they're rated. They're not conservative. They give letter grades of Fs as well as numeric grades. The Republican Party, like the Democratic Party, is a big government party. And it's a big government party that means you keep less and less and less of your income to support government programs. Yes, today, Medicare and Social Security are popular. But to really pay for them, to put it on an actuarially sound basis, you would have to dramatically increase Social Security taxes, eventually more than doubling them. Why? People are living longer. Now, the people that lose are the people that don't make it to 65 and don't live long to collect either Medicare or Social Security benefits. Those are the losers. Also losing out and limiting their actions are young people, because the burden falls, because Social Security and Medicare is very much a pay-as-you-go system. People that are working today are paying the benefits for people that qualify for Social Security and Medicare, and usually that's at age 65. Social Security, you could start at age 62, get a lesser amount. All that's going to change. What they have to do is increase taxes and cut benefits. And that's not going to be popular. The burden is increasing on the young people. Don't be surprised in 15, 20 years that Social Security taxes are at least a third higher, if not doubled, and that benefits will be means tested. In other words, if you do the right thing and save your money, invest, and are successful, you'll get less of a Social Security benefit. Unfortunately, many people depend on Social Security, and it was designed that way. They want to control you, and the way they control you is by that check, whether it's a monthly check for income or checks, plural, when you get medical benefits. How do we stop it? Government spending is out of control. Until a successful, viable third party emerges, nothing fundamentally is going to change. I'm not optimistic. I don't have any great expectations that the Republican Party, especially when you look at it, what constitutes the Republican Party. The overwhelming majority in Congress today, most if not all of the Democrats and at least half to three quarters of the Republicans are big government politicians. So they're not going to change entitlements. Donald Trump's not going to change entitlements. Yes, what is out of control? Government spending is out of control. Every day, more and more people, baby boomers largely right now, are retiring. That means huge deficits in future years unless the tax rates for Social Security and Medicare, as well as Medicaid, go up. So what do? I led in last time with, and it's not unique to me, we need to fundamentally balance the budget. That's the prudent thing to do. Neither party will do that. I propose a consumption tax, a broad-based consumption tax, along the lines of the fare tax. And there's a lot of information there, and I have links to it. I simply don't have the time to go over it in detail. I've done that in past shows where I dedicate the entire show to it. But I call your attention to it, because the biggest tax people pay today in terms of number of people, Americans, is the payroll tax. It's not the personal income tax. What the broad-based consumption tax, some people call it a sales tax, but it's similar but not identical too, because what's different about the fair tax, sales tax are regressive. In other words, the poor, lower middle class, pay a higher incidence in terms of their income. To solve that problem, the designers of the fair tax made it progressive by giving a prebate to families. And it's tied to the federal poverty rate. And it gives a prebate for each adult as well as child. I've simplified it, made it more generous. Every adult age 18 or older would get a $1,000 a month check, 12 checks, for a total of $12,000. Why? People have to buy the necessities of life. Food, clothing, housing, transportation, and insurance. You need that to survive today. Now, it depends where you live. It's obviously a lot more expensive to live in New York City or San Francisco than it is to live in many other communities. You need to understand that. So with a $12,000 prebate, and the rate is everyone gets the prebate. Everyone pays the same tax rate. The tax rate, there are two ways to look at it. They're equivalent. The inclusive rate, in other words, the price of the items you buy today, would include the fair tax less or the broad-based consumption tax. Just like today, when you buy a loaf of bread at a dollar, about 23 cents or 23% of that dollar is to pay the, it's included in the price, is businesses and individuals have paid that in taxes. So they have to recover the taxes. That's why the price is higher. What gets replaced? Just to briefly summarize it, all personal income taxes are replaced. They're abolished. So are corporate income taxes. So are estate and gift taxes, capital gains taxes, the alternative minimum taxes. In other words, under my version of the fair tax less, there's one single tax, a broad-based consumption tax, and you no longer pay payroll taxes for Social Security, Medicare, disability, and survivor benefits. One tax will be used to pay for the government, a much larger government. Now, I'm not happy with the rate. The inclusive rate is 20%. If you exclude it from the price, it's 25%. So I'm not misleading you. They're the equivalent. The way it would work is because all the other federal taxes would be abolished or replaced, assuming the prices remain the same. Actually, they should fall a little, but assuming that the prices stay the same, what does that mean? All of those taxes that you previously were paying and filing a return on, you no longer would be doing it. What we're changing is how taxes are collected. They're not collected, and it's not based on income earned. It's based on spending for new goods and services. And you need to understand that. That's probably the hardest thing, because many people immediately jump to the conclusion, well, this is an additional tax. No, it's not an additional tax. It's a single tax that replaces, under my version, all federal taxes. And it really pays for Social Security and Medicare, as well as all the other government services. You need to understand that. Why is it being resistant? It's the status quo. We have two big government parties. The way they're financing the government is not only through taxes, but going increasingly in more and more debt, which you cannot sustain. And the worst case, you have the Federal Reserve or central bank printing money or creating money. Those are the only three ways to pay for government. And what we're doing is burdening future generations. That's immoral, folks. That's unethical. But that's what's happening. And both political parties are responsible for this. And it's been going on, like I say, for over 100 years. You'll get arguments, at least 125. And we've had Republican presidents and Democratic presidents and people in the House and the Senate support this. And you elected him. You have no one to blame but yourselves. But ultimately, it comes crashing down. It is very much a house of cards that will fall down. I don't make predictions, but sometime between now and 2040, you're going to see dramatic changes. The only way to save the country is dramatically increase taxes and cut benefits. Do the math. And what that means is squeezing all other government expenditures. The way they look at government spending today, divided into mandatory spending, that's for entitlement programs and for welfare programs. And that's the lion's share. That's over 50% already, and it'll go to 100% if something is not done. In other words, we'll be spending all our money on entitlement programs and welfare programs. not a cent for defense or any other department. Discretionary spending is for all the other departments, including defense. Defense should have the top priority. That defends the country against our enemies. So I wanted to give a much broader context. We need to do something, but something is not going to happen. Neither President Trump, the Republican Party, and certainly not the Democratic Party, really want to discuss this. This is off the table. Donald Trump says he doesn't want to make any changes to entitlements. Sir, that doesn't work. It's the smart political thing to do, and that's why he did it. That's one reason I don't support him. We have a lot of people that are in deep denial. But most of them are lying, first to themselves, deceiving themselves, lying to themselves. But more importantly, they're deceiving and lying to you. They won't confront. The biggest problem facing America today is government spending is out of control. Now, how do you limit it? Assume for a moment that the fair tax is passed. I don't see it being passed until we have another third successful viable party. Neither the Democratic Party nor the Republican Party are going to pass it. All their support is in the Democratic Party and the Republican Party that would support it. But the majority are big government parties, so they're not going to support it. What they want to do is make it worse and worse and worse. There is a day of reckoning. And what they need to understand, where does this go? It's the road to serfdom and more government dependency. In other words, they want to control you, and that's what it's about. It's not about independence. It's not about reason. It's about power over you and me, controlling you and me. Nothing will change under the existing political system. And I suggest you read the Declaration of Independence. In particular, I've highlighted in red. Eventually, this will result in the people revolting, rebellion. And we've had tax rebellions throughout the history of this country and in other countries. Taxes is where the tyranny, where the rubber meets the road. The way you limit government is tell them real succinctly, whatever the fair tax collects, that's it. You don't spend a penny more. Actually, only 90%. The other 10% you use to pay down the debt, which is over $20 trillion, and unfunded liabilities, which is over $200 trillion, mainly for Social Security and Medicare. So I want you to celebrate Independence Day, but while you're at it, realize you're becoming more and more dependent on the government, and that's exactly what both political parties want. In other words, the two-party tyranny is putting the screws on you, and it'll get worse and worse. Only you can stand up and fight the two-party tyranny, because nothing will change. It'll just get worse and worse, and the burden will be on young people and future generations. That is not how this country was founded. It's just on the opposite. Thank you for listening, and now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College.
You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com. And KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.